That's Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Very good morning to you. Happy Easter. We're going to have a look at those verses that we've just heard from Mark chapter 16. So if you'd like to keep that open on page 1023. But we have a special guest with us this morning to help us understand this. His name is Jeff, and we need to greet him, and then he might come out and say hello. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then you need to say, very simply, "Hello, Jeff," but a bit louder than that, okay? Can you do that with me? So 1, 2, 3, "Hello, Jeff." I think we might need to be a little bit louder for him. So should we say again? 1, 2, 3, "Hello, Jeff." Happy Easter, Jeff.
Oh, chocolate. I love chocolate. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, caramel chocolate, chocolate with hazelnut, but not brownie.
Well, did you know, Jeff, there is a lot more to get excited about today than just chocolate. Well, try this, Jeff, okay? Christians believe that Jesus died and then he rose from the dead, and that means we can know God personally, we can be forgiven, and we can have life that lasts forever, even through death. Well, actually, Jeff, there's loads of evidence that Jesus really died and he really rose from the dead, and it really matters.
Wow. Okay. What kind of evidence?
Well, evidence like we just heard in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. We just heard from the Bible.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Can you convince me?
Well, okay. Let's look at the clues that Mark the Gospel writer has given us in this account of what happened on that first Easter morning. Okay. Now, I'm going to put some clues on the screen. Okay, now here we go. First of all, we're going to do, I don't know if anyone remembers Reveal the Sportsman from A Question of Sports. Some people here won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But this is the same idea, okay? So we've got to try and figure out what is behind here. It's a clue in the, something to do with what we've heard in Mark 16, 1 to 8 in the reading, okay? So I'm going to uncover a bit. What do we think this is?
Oh, peanut butter.
No, it isn't. No. Okay. Any ideas? Any ideas? Anything going on? What would it be? Oh, did I hear something? Spices. Okay, can we see? Oh, here it comes. Okay, spices. There you go. That's the first clue. Spices. Well, I will let that rather controversial statement go unchallenged, Jeff, because these aren't spices for food. They are spices that people used to use to anoint a dead body out of respect for someone who had died.
Who died?
Jesus died.
Really?
you know, the evidence that Mark gives us shows us that everyone definitely thought he was dead. So just if you look just back a few verses on page 1023, you can see, look, the women were watching from a distance when he died, verse 40. And they were watching when he was put in the tomb and the big heavy stone rolled across the entrance, verse 47. And that in between, you've got Pilate and the Roman, and Pilate surprised to hear that he's already dead. And you've got the Roman centurion making sure. And these Romans, do you know, they were kind of experts in putting people to death. They knew how to do it. Well, in those days, even more than now, people really knew what it looked like when someone died because there weren't any hospitals. People died at home. They saw it all the time. They would know if they were putting someone in a tomb when actually he was still alive.
Well, what about the spices? Is that it? Is there anything else?
So they're bringing spices because they think Jesus is definitely dead and we need to do the right thing, which is to anoint the dead body. So they think he's definitely dead. That is the first thing. But I've got two more pieces of evidence.
Right.
Okay. Well, why don't you have a sit down and we're gonna have a look at these together, okay, with everyone here. So to try and understand what these other pieces of evidence are. So I've got the next thing on the screen. So Corin, if you put the next one up. Now, has anyone here ever played Wordle? Yeah, okay, so this is a Wordle clue, okay? Now, we're going to think the words, and then Corin, if this works, is going to put them in, and we'll see what comes up. So the idea is you put in a word, and it comes up with green or yellow, according to whether you've got the right letter in the right place or whatever. You get the idea. So what's our first word going to be? A five-letter word. Any idea? Audio. That's everyone's favourite first word, isn't it? Okay, let's start with that. Audio. So there it goes. Excellent. If you press enter, there we go. Okay, so that means A-U-D-I are not in the word. The O is correct, but it's in the wrong place. What's our next word going to be? Come on, all you Wordle experts. What was it?
Stone.
Well, let's try that. Oh, there you go! Wordle in two for David Rue. Round of applause. It's a good day when you get Wordle in two, isn't it? That's an excellent one. Right. Okay, well done. So that is our second clue. Now, with the stone. And here is a funny thing about the stone. The other gospel writers tell us, do you know what? Jesus could walk through physical objects like walls after he rose from the dead. Did you know that? So he appears with his disciples inside a locked room. He just suddenly appears with them. So he had a new creation body. He was physical when he rose from the dead. He wasn't a sort of spirit or a ghost because they could touch him, they could feel him. But at the same time, he was kind of more than physical. He could go through things. So we might then think, well, hang on a minute, surely moving the stone isn't really needed for Jesus to get out. He could just walk through it. Or, you know, he could also move the stone and put it back again. So what is this about? Why does the stone need to be moved? And it's as if Mark is saying, actually, really, that is for the benefit of the women coming to look and our benefit reading this a couple of thousand years later, you see, because in the way Mark tells it, what do they find when they get to the tomb? We often say, don't we? We often say the tomb was empty. Now, in the way Mark tells it here, was the tomb empty? Was it empty? No, it had someone in it, didn't it? It had an angel in it. It's this man dressed in white. It's an odd thing. Remember, it's a dark tomb. You can't really see very much, but it's very clear that he's dressed in white, which suggests that it's kind of shiny in some way, a bit different from normal. So this is almost certainly an angel, like there are other angels that appear at different times in the Gospels and other parts of the Bible. And he tells them, Jesus is not here because he is risen. And Mark's Gospel is a bit funny, because actually the gospel ends at verse 8, where we finished the reading on page 1024. And I'll say a tiny bit more about that in a moment. But actually it ends without Jesus appearing physically like he does in the other Gospels. Mark doesn't actually record them seeing him physically. Now, you do see that in Matthew and Luke and John, but Mark is telling it in a slightly different way. And all we have is that the stone has been moved so that the women and we can see in, and we have the words of the angel. And so at this point, you see, the women have to believe on the basis of what they have heard and the evidence in front of them that the tomb is empty. So where is the body? What's happened? What's happened to Jesus? And the words, do you remember what Jesus promised? He said he was going to do this. Go and see whether he's done it. And in one sense, that is exactly how it is for us, do you see? That we hear the evidence of what has happened, and we need to put our faith in Jesus on the basis of hearing that evidence too, just like those women needed to do at the beginning as they first heard that. So that is the second piece of evidence. The stone is moved. We can see in. We're going to come to the third piece of evidence in a minute, but first we're going to sing, and I'm going to hand back to Corinne to lead us with that. So there is one more piece of evidence for us. And here we go. Here it is on the screen. So this is a different type of clue for us. So what is that? What did that picture put it together? It's a clue for a word. What is the word? Okay, so let's just break this down a bit. On the end, you've got ear. Okay, now on the beginning, you might say, well, so what is that at the beginning? Rooster or a chicken or a fowl. And then you've got in the middle, what have you got crossed out? Owl. So what have you got? Fear. There we go. Well done. Fantastic. So let's think about fear. This is our third clue, our third piece of evidence. So verse 8, this strange way to end the gospel. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Isn't that an odd way to finish? Actually, I'll just explain a little bit. If you look at the bit below, it tells us the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have verses 9 to 20. Now, this is quite unusual in the Bible. It's not as if there are loads of places where this kind of thing happens, but it's the translators telling us, we think there is good reason to say verses 9 to 20 weren't there in the original thing that Mark wrote, because the earliest documents that we've got, and you know we've got loads of documents we've dug up and archaeologists have found, and that the verses 9 to 20 are only in the ones which are a couple of hundred years later. And it's as if someone has come along a couple of centuries later and thought, it's so weird for the gospel to end at verse 8 with them being afraid that I think I'm going to have to finish it off. And so they finished it off in a way that uses ideas and things. Nothing in verses 9 to 20 is sort of something which is new or different and not in other parts of the Bible. So it's not as if it's something sort of secret or hidden. It's just, it doesn't fit with what has come before. It uses different language, different ideas, and it's not there in the most earliest documents. So it looks like the gospel does end with this, on this note of fear. So what is going on? And is this really evidence then, if they just run off going, oh, this is really strange, is that really evidence that Jesus rose from the dead? But here's the thing, actually, fear and bewilderment and being afraid at this point make a lot of sense if you think about it. It's a little bit like, I don't know if you know the episode earlier in Mark's gospel where Jesus calms the storm, okay? So they're in a boat in the middle of the lake. And it's really stormy. And these are fishermen in the boat with Jesus. They know how to deal with weather on a lake when they're fishing. This is something really out of the ordinary. It's really dangerous. And they are saying to Jesus, do you know what they say to him? They say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Because he's there and he's asleep with his head on a cushion, Mark tells us, in the middle of the lake, in the middle of this storm. And who knows what Jesus does at that point? Any ideas? What does he do? What does he, Bowen, what does he do? He does say, don't you trust me. He says that at the end, actually. First of all, he says, don't be afraid. He says, first of all, he stands up. Do you know, he stands up and he says, quiet, be still. And it was completely calm, just like that, an extraordinary miracle. And that isn't how storms stop normally. They die down gradually. And the thing to notice then is what happens after that, which is when Jesus says to them, why are you so afraid? Because at that point, we might expect them, you know, when they've been in a life-threatening situation, and then it's just suddenly the problem's been solved, you might expect them to go, ah, great, thanks very much, Jesus, for sorting that one out. But no, Mark tells us they were terrified at that point. They were terrified before the storm was calmed. And then after the storm was calmed, they were terrified again, but for a different reason. Because suddenly they realized who they were piecing together, who this guy in the boat with them might actually be, who had this extraordinary power over the wind and the waves. I mean, who can do this? This is extraordinary. They've just realized that the guy in the boat with them might actually be God himself. And it's the same here for the women, you see. Jesus rising from the dead isn't the kind of news where you just, you know, quickly adjust your plans and adapt. You know, we thought he was coming for lunch. We thought he wasn't coming for lunch, but now he is. You know, it isn't that sort of news. It's totally life-changing. Life will never be the same again. It's that kind of news. So the women, actually, the fear that they react with is, again, a sign that something really extraordinary is going on here. This is not what they're expecting. This is really, really, really weird. And so they go, oh my goodness, you know, this is extraordinary. And so they're trembling and bewildering, and they go out. And in one sense, Mark then leaves the question with us, how are we going to respond as the reader to the evidence that he's given us of Jesus rising from the dead? Now, for our last little bit, we're going to go back to Jeff and have a final little chat with him. So, can we do it again? One, two. Oh, Jeff's here already. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, hello. Listening very hard, that's
right. So keen.
I've been listening. Been very good at listening.
So we've got, do you hear the evidence? We've got spices, we've got the stone, we've got fear. Evidence that Mark has given us that Jesus really had risen from the dead.
Okay. Spices, stone, fear. That's all fine. But I've still got a question, and that is, does it really make any difference whatsoever?
Well, let's look at what the angel said to the women. Do you see this?
Okay.
Go, verse 7, he says, go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you.
Okay, but why Peter? Why Peter specifically?
Why does he point out Peter specifically? That's a good question, isn't it? Why does he focus on Peter?
Yes.
Well, do you remember what had happened just a couple of days earlier?
No.
Peter denied that he knew Jesus, and he did it three times.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. That was really, really bad, wasn't it?
It was really bad. It was really sad because he was ashamed of being associated with Jesus. He suddenly realised this is all going wrong and Jesus is going to be put to death. I don't want to have anything to do with this. And so he's denying that he's got anything to do with him, which was really bad, really sad. But do you know what?
What?
Jesus is just singling out Peter in order to say to him, it's okay.
Okay.
I have died. I've risen from the dead. I've conquered sin and death. I've died for your sins and the things that you did wrong, just like I said I would.
But what's that got to do with me and us here today in St. John's?
Well, the point is this, very simply. If Jesus could forgive Peter,
yes,
when he had messed up in such a big way,
yes,
do you know what? He can forgive us as well.
Wow.
That is the message of Easter. Do you see? He died, he rose from the dead, so that when we trust in him, we can know for sure that we can be forgiven when we put our trust in him. And that is the invitation to all of us today.
Wow. Maybe that is better than chocolate after all, Tom.
Well, there you go. Well done, Jeff. So let's say bye-bye to Jeff. And bye-bye, Jeff.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And that is the invitation, isn't it, to all of us today to say, see the evidence, see that the evidence that Mark has given us, the other gospel writers give us, and say, look, this Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead so that anybody who puts their trust in him can know that our sins have been forgiven because Jesus took the punishment we deserve. And we have new life and a fresh start with God because he's risen to give us that today.